Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
I wrote a tweet out and didn't send it that said, "Will anybody give me 20-1 that Ryan Tannehill will win a Super Bowl?"
Yes.
And the Bulldog.
Think about it. 20-1. Joe, you'll give me 20-1 that he wins a Super Bowl?
Yeah, definitely.
He has to start and win.
I don't know about Tannehill. I'm going to say it's under 50%.
He's kind of crappy, kind of not so crappy, kind of Washington.
On WGR.
I would bet anything for $10 to win $200. I mean, just right. Name a thing. Like, right. I'm in.
Sports Radio 550.
Like most of my betting, it hasn't gone that badly. You're a little bit impressed, but I haven't won. That's usually where I end up.
Yeah. No, you made that bet. He went to a contender and immediately started playing well. So, yeah. I mean, you got that going for you.
Yeah, like they're something, Tennessee. Yeah. They're a playoff. They've been a playoff team for a few years in a row with him. He was a quarterback of a playoff team with Miami, even so. But win a Super Bowl, that's a big ask, especially if Tom Brady decides to never stop playing. On the NFL, there's stuff. I mean, the schedule's tomorrow night, and you don't have to believe any of these rumors, the leaks. Some will be right, but not all. If what we have seen so far is right, the Bills will not play that first game in Tampa Bay. They'll play there later in the season, and there's a report that the Bills will play at New England in week one in what would be a Sunday afternoon game. We will find out tomorrow night at the latest on that. Do you want to make a prediction for the Monday night game now that we have a little bit more information, or do you want to just tell me that that's absurd and why would you ask? What will Good Morning America tell us tomorrow morning?
I don't know.
You know what's my obsession?
Yeah. I don't know. Browns Steelers. Is that too good? That might be too good for the first Monday night football game.
Not usually a division game.
Yeah.
Also, we have Tampa Bay on Thursday night and reportedly Chicago and the Rams on Sunday night. It's all NFC. If it's not the Bills on Thursday night, it will be NFC, and that's the road team will be NFC also.
Am I not doing my job correctly if I tell you I don't care who plays in that first Monday night game?
Yes.
If it's not the Bills, I mean, if we're, you know, we've got a report that indicates they're going to Foxborough. So if it's not them, I don't know.
If they're putting it on Good Morning America, it's not going to be Houston versus Detroit.
They're putting it on Good Morning America. It's going to be the Jets. With their fancy new quarterback and their fancy new coach and their fancy new everything.
That game very often has been the Jets or the Giants. Right. So I think that's a good guess. Either one.
Darnold's first game was at Detroit in a 7 o'clock Monday night game. That was when there was the doubleheader, and they're not doing that this year or anymore, right? They discontinued that.
So, I guess. Anyway. But still, the Giants were in that spot last year against Pittsburgh. Giants at Detroit was one of these games. Yeah,
New
York.
Do the Giants and Jets play? No, they don't play.
They don't.
All right. I like the Jets. I like the Jets to host that game.
All right. Against?
There.
Against?
do they play Cleveland?
They play mostly the same schedule the Bills do.
Yeah.
Although I don't know about the home and away. Anyway, I'll let you think about it.
Okay, thanks. I'm not going to.
No, that's fine. You
extracted this much out of me. I got there. I got somewhere. I didn't completely abdicate my responsibility.
All right.
I took a swing. Jets.
Okay. I like it. I've written New York down, but I'm putting it in parentheses just because it's Bulldog's guess, not a real.
Well, why don't
report.
You use one of your burner accounts to tweet that out like you're a schedule source?
Yes. The hobby WGR thinks the Jets. Well, they haven't tweeted in a long time. All right. We did some with Paul on Reinhardt. Yesterday was Eichel, and today certainly can be, too. A lot of these days are going to be Eichel days.
Yeah.
Because the story from Elliott on his injury, it's new information. It'll be interesting tomorrow to see how the Sabres address it. I think you said, and I would agree with this, I would say this too, like if Elliott's report is right, and I usually would think it would be, about this artificial disc replacement, if that's the term, and the Sabres just, you know, what do I know about that? But if the Sabres if they wanted to be cautious and were unsure or even disapproved of it, could you sort of get that?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Elliott wrote, he knows of no NHL player who's ever had that operation.
Right. Yeah. He cited, a couple of MMA fighters. One who's had the surgery and has performed three times since and has subsequently suffered an unrelated injury. So he's fought three times and apparently that it's fine. And then there's another guy who just had it, but I don't think has returned yet. And like, that's the extent of the examples. I mean, I want to guess that there are others, but as far as like high profile known athletes, that's what is cited in the Elliott Friedman piece at 31 Thoughts, today that mentions this artificial disc replacement, surgery. So, I would understand any hockey team. I mean, I know the Sabres have put themselves in such a place here where it's can be challenging to be kind, to want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they've screwed up many frivolous things and some serious things too. But in this case, I would understand them at least not wanting to just rush into some new revolutionary treatment that there isn't a lot of data on what the long range, what the ramifications of it are. I suggested yesterday that they would be, I think, within their rights. I mean, Eichel even said this at some point, like, I got to worry about me and, the team's got to worry about the team. So the team wants to, I think, guard the asset, whether they were keeping him or if it's a mind to trade him, if they know or fear even that, potential trade partners would look unfavorably on this surgery, maybe like they do, then that's, that they've got reason to be cautious about it. So I want to as much as I think this whole scenario with your superstar player, talking like he talked yesterday about the organization it's embarrassing. And the Sabres are not long in defenders right now. I can understand them being reluctant to dive into a relatively unknown procedure on the spinal column.
Super interesting situation. These guys never want to talk about sprained ankles. They don't want to talk about any of it. They think it's a competitive disadvantage to do that. And then there's privacy issues when it's serious stuff. We've just been through COVID, and there's times where you're like, they're not saying anything. Is that COVID? Is that what that means? I mean, it's sort of the default approach by sports when talking injuries. But the Sabres are just being blasted for this because people seem to draw the conclusion that it is going to cost them their disagreement, their dispute with Eichel will cost them Eichel. It's still not, I don't know, how will this play out? Like, you've got in 2 days here, you had yesterday's comments from Eichel and then today the reporting on it, like day two. Elliott kind of wrote it this way himself, that you losing is bad. This you don't come back from. Like, the medical, losing trust is worse than losing games.
Yeah.
Like that, if I may. And yikes. I mean, we have been speculating about whether Eichel is just fed up with the franchise for all the lousy years for a long time already. I kind of would think that the injury thing, while serious, is just sort of the last straw. And that maybe his being disenfranchised, if that's the word, just sort of fed up with the team, meant when the injury dispute happened, it's like, that's it. I mean, it could even have been just immediate.
Yeah.
He'd been playing with an injury. They were not quite forthright about that. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, the losing is some, it's not a 0%.
No, for sure.
Part of the equation.
Look, I think I want to be very cautious about how I say this, because I mean, whatever. This is not binding. I'm not going to break any laws here, but it's the sort of speculation that I think can be risky, and I want to be responsible here, but it's at least possible that, to me, the injury, and I'm not questioning the authenticity of the injury at all by saying this, but that this dispute has given Eichel a way to wedge his way out of here without just saying the losing is too much. And really, what I've just said about the Sabres not being long in people to defend them right now, like their status within the league, within sports, like for people who pay attention, people are laughing at the Sabres. Their reputation is really bad, and they have earned, I think, every ounce of that. Okay, so if you and your representative recognize the situation, it's a way to create a situation, a scenario, where you don't come off like a spoiled baby to as many people. There are going to be people that are just going to say that no matter what. You're so friggin' great. Why am I in last place year after year and all that sort of stuff? All right, let's just leave I'm not talking to them. I mean, if you're out there, I'm glad you're listening. All right, but like there. I'm gonna set you over there. Okay, for people who love Eichel and love the Sabres, right? You're torn. Right, you wanted them to get him so badly. You cheered for Arizona, right? You wanted this guy on your team, and he's your guy. And you know, extricating yourself from a situation like this with your reputation intact is challenging, right? Demanding a trade, there are going to be sports fans in both camps. I despise you, you spoiled, entitled baby. And I get it. I understand. They're a tire fire. You should crawl from the wreckage and get out of there and have a nice career somewhere. See O'Reilly, Ryan. Okay. This situation could be providing an avenue for Eichel to demand a trade without demanding a trade.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And so, and again, I'm not suggesting that none of this confusion about treatment isn't real, but it provides it's like the inertia to the eventual trade, right? He didn't say he wants to be traded or that he's demanded to be traded, but we all walked away from yesterday feeling like he's done here. He's all but said he wants to be traded by saying what he said. And this scenario, I think, conveniently fits for him to do that without taking the heat that just saying, I'm sick of losing, because it sounds like you're blaming other people for the losing, not yourself, by demanding a trade. Now there's trust is fractured. We don't agree on medical treatment. This is my body and my career. I got to look out for Jack Eichel and all that stuff. And that all, to me, holds up, again, to a certain kind of fan is going to respect that, and especially because the Sabres' reputation is where it is. So it's a convenient moment for him. If he ultimately wanted to get out of here because of the losing, the injury provides a parachute, I think, that that makes it a little more palatable. Perhaps. This is just it's a possibility that I think you should have your mind open to. And again, that's not, I'm being very careful here. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that Jack Eichel is not injured, or that there isn't a division of opinion about how to treat this injury between he and the Sabres. But making it into what he made it into yesterday sort of, it gets the steamroller rolling towards, I'm getting out of here. And maybe we wondered, like, how would that manifest itself? I think maybe we just watched how yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate all that. I mean, it is really a guess as to how calculated this might be.
Right.
It might not be at all, or it might be very. And you know, the Sabres would know that. they would know it as well as Eichel would know it, but they'd know it. And I think tomorrow, if they felt, you know, if they were, say, offended by how we talked yesterday, then they might have the motivation to sort of blast him, but they shouldn't. I think they know better. I feel like Adams would know better. I don't expect this.
I think it would be very tempting to do that, but I don't think it's in the team's best interest, because the more you make it contentious, the harder it becomes, I think, to get the max value back in a trade.
Ultimately, it doesn't really have to matter, because if he's done, he's done. And you don't really have any sort of scoreboard to point to. This team is just lost and lost. And if he does want to leave because they can't win games, then okay, what are you going to do? He has the power. They could just not do it and cut their nose off. And I don't know. I feel like they should want to not end up there. The injury, you were more into this idea yesterday than I was. I think Elliott's piece brought clarity to this for me. The way the injury could mess up any sort of trade, dealings. What is the guy's health? What is his status? If we don't know, how can we give you five players? I'm not sure I want to do, for $10 million. I'm not sure I want to do that. So he probably, he probably needs to resolve this before anything can happen. Maybe that's also something that will come up tomorrow. Let's get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Schenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Here is Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd like to talk about the Sabres moving forward and whether that's a trade with Eichel or free agency. The last thing this team needs is another 5'10", 5'11", 6-foot player that's 170 pounds. We need to get some power forwards on this team in the worst way. I'm sick of this. I know people don't like to use, the word soft, but this team over the last 4 or 5 years has just been soft. They need players that are willing to lean into other players on this team, and that's kind of my feeling on it.
Do you know that they're small? That's easily looked up. I my guess is that they're not, but if you know that they are, that'd be good. Dan?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Do you know that they're small? My guess is that they're not, but if you know that, that would be good for your argument.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe if there's a potential trade or,
Well, I understood. I understood your point, but you might know them to be a relatively small team, or you might just be guessing.
Well, I'm just saying that right now when you look up and down the roster, there just isn't that 6'1", 6'2" player that's 225 pounds, somewhere in there. And that's what this team needs, is somebody that's what, like the Stutzel for Ottawa, for example. Okay. I mean, if there's a possible trade, I'm more than willing to look into that. I mean, he's a great, power forward type of player that this team sorely needs.
Fine. Okay. Thanks, Dan. You might be right. I mean, they could be bigger. I think almost always when I hear that point, people misassociate that with actual winning hockey. And cup winner after cup winner is not that big relative to the rest of the league, but we don't care because big seems like that should be better. The Sabres have plenty of guys who are 6 feet and taller. They're not all 220. So I don't think about that. I don't really care about that.
And size really doesn't equate. Tage Thompson is huge. He's not a big hard player. He's more of a finesse player for someone who's in that body. So even just looking at their average height and weight doesn't get you to what Dan is really suggesting. He's suggesting that they are they're too easy to play against. And I'm listening to that. I think I need a lot. We talked about this
last week, I think, when we, you know, we were all in a furor, it really turned into the Sabres are small and soft because nobody on the team can beat up Tom Wilson, while we were talking about Tom Wilson last week. You know, and I said then, like, if I'm choosing between two players who have, like, equal skill sets and project the same way, and one's a harder guy to play against, a more physical player, I'll take the more physical guy. But to me, it's not everything. But it's not, you know, to me, it doesn't sound wrong to hear that the Sabres are not a real physical team. You know, up front, they're not a team that, like, gets down low and bangs you. There are teams in the league that still play that way. The Blues won the Cup playing that way. Vegas is a very talented team, but they do play a hard brand down low. And Buffalo's not long in that department. So, like, I'd be open to improving in that area, but, you know, I'm not putting height and weight classifications on it myself.
Right on. Okay, thanks, Dan. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Being a defenseman in this league, it's very challenging as a young defenseman. I think it's much more of an adjustment as a defenseman than a forward. So you're definitely going to have your stretches to play as a young guy that you're not playing great. You find, you look at the score sheets in the night, you see a dash two or multiple nights of being in the minus, and that's, you know, something that we take pride in as defensemen. You don't like to get scored on. So Henry and Rask both are just going to be phenomenal players and really got a great head on their shoulders. So the future is definitely bright.
I'm sorry, Dylan Cousins, did you say?
Franklin? Jake McCabe.
Jake McCabe. Okay, I wasn't focused like I should be. According to...
Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm here. I got you.
Thank you. According to EliteProspects.com, the Sabres rank 13th in the league in average weight and 15th in average height. They're in the middle.
So average.
It's just not something I care about, so I apologize for not knowing anything about that subject. To me, it just usually sounds like establish the run. Got to be bigger. Sabres have plenty of big guys. You got to be better is what you got to be. The Hurricanes, also in the middle, both categories. I saw an amazing stat about them today. Like, they're my favorite team in the league for quality. So their last game, they'd clinched their division. They went to Nashville for their final two games. They lost both, but they had already clinched. And the last game, I think they lost like maybe 5-0. They were just blown out. And it was the only game this year where they trailed by 3 goals at any point except for one against Tampa, where Tampa scored with 35 seconds left to go up by 3. Those 35 seconds of that game after an empty net goal were the only time in 55 games Carolina had trailed by more than 2 goals. How about that? Until the last game, they get blown out. Having clinched. How about that? Is that good?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good. I want to be more like them. It's nothing to do with size.
Yeah. It's really something, right? It's Don Waddell, right?
I think of Eric Tulsky. He's not the GM, but I think of Eric Tulsky.
Yeah.
Had one of those great stat sites and then got swept up by the Canes.
Right. Yeah. I read his name, I think, in a long piece today at The Athletic about, like, you know, potential up-and-comers, coaches and GMs that are, like, sort of in the pipeline. And I think his name was on that list. But, yeah, I mean, Waddell and Brind'Amour, and I think – I don't want to speak for you. That sounded like they were going back to the Stone Age when they got there. And, you know, go figure. They have gone absolutely the other way, and to their credit, I mean, they're excellent.
Yep. All right, here is Justin next. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
What's up? Just something I want to say about the ownership. I think when it comes to the Bills, just say, I think the Pegulas take a seat, grab their popcorn, and watch Bean and McDermott do their work. When it comes to the Sabres, I do think they're a little bit more involved. That being said, with this injury that came up, I just don't think they would go down that same route of kind of that Eric Wood injury where he was kind of misdiagnosed and then they actually had to pay him out the rest of his contract, or they gave him, I forgot what it was, if they gave him some type of settlement. But I know he was paid out. So injuries of this severity, I just don't think that they would let slide. I think they really do monitor player safety and stuff like that. So
I just don't understand, though, why Justin when he was hurt and whenever it was that they would have known what he was dealing with, which probably was like the next day, how did they ever continue to tell us that they were open to his return? I mean, what was that about? If the ultimate point here is respect for the severity of neck injuries, which I would totally respect myself, what are they doing on a team with that record talking about him like he might play? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, no, it is. I just think I look at players when they're winning, they play through injuries. When they're losing, they sit it out.
I mean,
I think it's just kind of like a little bit of a scapegoat. I mean, look at Beasley, and they played out through their injuries. And I'm not saying which one's more severe or not, but
yeah. So all right, well, you might be more critical of him than I would be, but there's still more to know, I think, about what exactly happened there. All right, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if they. I don't think we're going to get an answer to this. But I wonder if part of what they were doing by suggesting that he could return was because they were skeptical of how long he should be out.
Right. That's what I think.
You know, and again, like if he believes that, then like there's where this whole thing starts to turn bad. I would think like if he gets the sense from them that they don't think he's as badly hurt as he does. Then, like, I mean,
which again is another thing about tomorrow that's so dicey. Like, they're not going to want to say that. Sometimes you say things that you don't want to say; they just sort of reveal themselves in your answers. We'll see. Very challenging press conference, maybe tomorrow. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. I think there's this confusion about Eichel, and maybe there always will be. Just remember. Nobody needs to hear me say this, but just remember, like, the team is what we care about. And so, in a way, like, I think Adams, I said this before the season, it's gotten worse maybe, but it's an opportunity for him to create something for them with Adams at the helm, to create something from, like, the bottom. And that's pretty cool. And when you're successful at that, that's just very rewarding. And that's what the Sabres did 15 years ago that made that so special, is that they were not expected to be good. And it was sort of not a ragtag team, but, oh, wow, this guy, we're going to win it all. Like, just like that. And it's still a sport, despite the 10-year playoff drought, which is extraordinary. It's still a sport where that is the way. Where teams do bounce. You talk about the Blues. Like, yeah, they won the Cup. They were also last in the league at the halfway point that year. It's so tight. It should be like that. It really is like that. You know, this is. I'm not in the mood to make excuses for them, but the division they were in was good, and they were never likely to make it. It can change quickly. It gets harder when you trade your best player. But we will be there, most of us, will be there once they start to show progress. And that does not need Jack Eichel to be a part of it. It doesn't need him to be a part of it. It seems like it's harder without him.
Yeah.
But really, like, you'll trade him if you do, and you'll get good players back. There's no way to – just that'll just happen.
Right. I mean, well, you better.
You better. Yeah, right. How could you not, How could you not? Well, O'Reilly isn't Eichel, though.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Thank you. Yes, that's right. He's not. O'Reilly's an excellent player, but he is not. He's not Jack Eichel. He's not that age, and he is not. He's not that player.
Name a guitar player that you like. Really have to know music to know. Like, that guy's amazing. As opposed to somebody that everybody knows, like Bruce Springsteen or somebody like that. Like, Eichel can be Bruce Springsteen, and O'Reilly who? Come on, you got it. You'll get me here.
Stevie Van Zandt.
All right,
from Stevie Van Zandt's own band.
Okay, like, you have to know. Who knows who that is? You do.
Right.
But you know, everybody knows who Bruce Springsteen is.
Right. Nils Lofgren might be better, but whatever. Same point.
The Sabres were smart to acquire O'Reilly. That was a smart move. That's a move they made during all this drought. Period. I mean, I'm just saying, like, as bad as it ever gets, a couple of good decisions and some luck, and you're back. You're not the greatest from just only that, but you're something. You're not this. You're not in the dregs. And you just
you want to
just hold out hope for that, is all.
Right. I mean, I think you should be able to get somebody's hot young guy. It, like, playing in the NHL already or not, right? That list is Byfield in L.A., maybe Lafreniere or Adam Fox in New York. One's a defenseman, one's a winger. That to me, success in this trade starts with one a name like that being at the center of it. You want to talk about Calgary, I'll get to Matthew Tkachuk. And there has to be other stuff. Like, Tkachuk is not Adam Fox, nor Lafreniere, nor Byfield. He's more established, but I don't think the ceiling is as high for him as it might be for Lafreniere or Byfield, certainly. But, to me, I said this very early in the show, one of the first things I read today was another lengthy piece. It might have been John Bogle who compiled it with The Athletic, but he talked to, like, a bunch of – or maybe it was Pierre LeBrun who talked to a bunch of NHL people and then compiled a list of, like, here's some teams that would be interested. And whoever responded for the Rangers part of that was, like, Lafreniere, Kako, and Fox are unattainable. Well, then I don't think I'm talking to the New York Rangers. Because I'm not interested in page two of their prospect list. If I'm trading you Jack Eichel, a dynamic number one center MVP candidate a year ago in this league, there's nobody that's off the table. I'm not getting two or three of them from you, but you damn well better be ready to deal one of them. And, like, I don't even think, like, Kako even rates to me as, like, the centerpiece of a deal. He's more of, like, a piece that I might ask for in addition to one of those other guys. And that's where you got to be living here if you're going to make this trade work for you. You know, the tough part's going to be if that marketplace doesn't materialize and you have to trade him anyways, then, I mean, then we're in a pretty dire situation. But I for now will choose to be optimistic about the market being there for him. I love reading that. I think Elliot wrote this. I think Pierre has written this too, Pierre LeBrun, that, you know, you can expect the obvious teams. New York's already made offers. L.A. was mentioned more than a year ago as a potential landing spot for Jack Eichel. There will be teams that you never saw coming who will want to get in on this. And that is, I mean, play the music. Like, that is music to my ears because that's what you need. You're going to need, you know, a pool of teams that you whittle down and eventually get to where you are talking maybe with two or three teams and it's, you know, I'm ready to do this with them. Do you want to give me this guy instead of that guy? And we'll make the deal. And it's going to be, I think, probably a long process.
Travis mentioned Ottawa, and so did Elliot. And you liked that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Stutzel right away. I mean, Ottawa's jacked. I mean, they've got a lot of young pieces there. They really do.
Wonder how Eichel would like that.
Yeah, right. Guess what? I don't.
You traded me a team that perhaps has dysfunctional ownership to Ottawa. Like, did you listen to one word I said? 803-0550, the latest on the NFL schedule after this here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think you have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then I don't know what you're doing. But you look at the talent, I think especially as the season went on and closer to the end of the season, you saw some of the young talent that's here. And some of those young guys got some more confidence. They got some more experience in different situations. And that's only going to be positive, I think. And yeah, I think there's a lot of really good pieces. It's now up to us to sort of put it together.
Jeff Skinner today again, some Sabres players said their goodbyes for the season. Tomorrow, the coach and GM should be very interesting to hear, in particular, Kevin Adams weigh in the wake of Jack Eichel's pointed comments about the organization yesterday. Some football for a moment here, and also at the top of the hour, I've got some cool odds to talk about. The schedule is tomorrow night. I am choosing to believe that the Bears-Rams report for week one Sunday night is accurate, mostly or partly because no one from the league, like the Schefters and Rappaport people, have come out to give you a tweet about it's still not known, like anything like that.
Right.
Like just sort of, or even just to refute it. I don't know anything like that. So I'm thinking that that's probably right.
I would bet. I mean, you know, these different networks, you know, have their deals, and they're all paying like, I mean, it's just so much money for these TV rights. Eventually, I mean, there's new partners coming in, but the fact you said it earlier, like when I mentioned that ABC on Good Morning America is going to announce, I believe, at 8 a.m. tomorrow, the first Monday Night Football game. You said something about like, why doesn't NBC do the same thing on the Today Show? I would bet there are, you know, people who spend like $800 at lunch arguing to do exactly that today. Like, you know, how they get to do this. What about us? You know, can't we do something? So like, I wonder if we won't, by the time I get up and functioning tomorrow, know a little more. Just like, I'm wondering if there's people leaning on the league to let other networks make announcements about standalone, you know, the Thursday opener or the first Sunday night game, that kind of thing for NBC.
Plus, my understanding is that, at least in terms of most teams, people in NFL organizations have seen the schedule. Like, they know it. And so, somebody tells somebody, then it gets out. Sort of you want to be the one to announce it. Somebody told me, and I trusted them, I would run to my computer and tell you. I don't expect that to happen. It seems like the leading candidate for the Bills week one is at New England, only because there was a report out of New England that Scott Zolak, actually, namely, from the Patriots broadcast. So with the team, that's a key distinction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's what he expects to have happen. So that's, I would give that, I don't know, 80%? And Bulldog is very solid on the Jets hosting the Monday night game.
Right.
That's, Bulldog WGR.
I think we may even get like Jets personnel on the set of is Good Morning America in New York City? I just assume like all big
probably
network shows like that are in New York City, but I don't know it for sure. But I think you might even get, like, you know, Zach Wilson or the coach or whatever.
Ooh.
Like someone out there to help with the announcement.
How about Fireman Ed? No, not really what you're saying.
No.
The Jets play largely the Bills schedule. They play the teams, like, say, in the AFC South and the NFC South, the other stadiums. The Jets are on the other side. The Bills and the Dolphins are on sort of one side, if you will, of that. The Patriots and the Jets are on the other side. So if the Jets were to play a home game on Monday night, it could be like the Saints. Right? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Maybe that would be a good idea. But I think Sal said it right. Saints at Buccaneers is not bad. I know Breeze is gone, but what they do at quarterback and Winston playing for Tampa, it's not bad. I'm fine with that. If it's not Dallas and it's New Orleans,
I can't. You might be more. Go ahead.
No, I can't wait to see what New Orleans is. I want to see them.
More confident if you're the league, like rolling them out there in a prime spot early, just in case. Like, you know, if you wait to have, you like New Orleans, Tampa, but you want to save it, maybe it's not that good because, you know, Drew Brees isn't there and like there's a drop off, right? But week one, the curiosity factor, you're going to want to be there to see what they're doing at quarterback. So I don't know how much that matters.
It is a good rivalry anyway. Like the Saints blew out the Buccaneers twice last year, including on Sunday night. That was like the worst game of the year, maybe, on Sunday night. It was like 21-0 in 10 minutes. Just an easy win for New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Then Tampa Bay beat them in the playoffs in New Orleans. So no Breeze. I mean, with Breeze, it's a marquee game like it was last year.
Right.
Without him and with Winston, fans are going to be very curious about New Orleans. They've been good for a long time, just short. They did win the one time, but a lot of seasons where they were just short, like last year. Now what? They're an interesting team to speculate on. So I do like them there. I mean, Dallas, I don't know who cares about this in the league, but Dallas is such a mark for criticism if they get picked. Because were they 4-12, Dallas? Like, right. does it matter at all if they're good? So I like it. Prescott is back. Like I'd watch any game, but I'd love that game too. It's just to whatever extent they care about the criticism, they were terrible last year. I'll have to think about which line is like the lower number. New Orleans at Tampa,
they were terrible, but the quarterback not being there is a big part of the reason they were terrible. So he's back. So I think that I would be surprised if the league is not going to dole out the requisite 4 or 5 primetime games for the Dallas Cowboys. And that could include Thursday night to me, the opener.
I agree with that statement. The season, remember how the season started? Like Prescott was great, but they gave up like a million points.
Right.
They had that game against Atlanta that they stole. They gave up 38 in week 3 and then 49. And then he gets hurt in week 5. Were they 6-10 actually was Dallas's record. Not as bad as I said. All right, what do you want?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
From the Bills schedule. That's tomorrow. We've been mostly on the Sabres, but we'll take your calls on either subject. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Hey, man, it's Bulldog here for Express Windows. You ever hear that old adage, if there's something you want, you can have it fast, easy, or affordable, but you can only choose two? Well, it's true for a lot of things, but with Express Windows, you get to pick all three. At Express Windows, you can get high-quality vinyl double-hung windows starting at only $249. Express Windows also offers a 20% military and senior discount as well. Go to expresswindows.com or call 602-8500 for details. Express Windows, fast, easy, affordable.